If you could open your Bibles up to Psalm 84, it'd be much appreciated. If you didn't get a chance to hear Jeff's sermon last week, I would really encourage you to go online and to listen to it. It's a beautiful sermon. It's a beautiful, eloquent interpretation of the first four verses of Psalm 84, finding our heart's home. And I couldn't help, as I was listening to it, think about my granddad. It's my granddaddy Copeland. And that's my niece when she was five. She's 50 now. Some of you who have gotten my sister's pound cakes have gotten a picture attached to it of my grandfather. He used to make pound cakes all the time. One of his great joys was to take pound cakes to people who, for whatever reason, he would just take them a pound cake. And during my years in college, he was my anchor. I was a mess. And I used to go over and just sit on the porch with him, sit out back with him and rock. You know, he didn't need to say anything. It was him. But one of the hardest things in my life was to be there when he was passing away. He was 89 years old, and he was out on a stroll, which he did every day. He was hit by a car, which threw him some 40 feet. He had a fracture, skull fracture, and broke his hip and his femur. And I was working in Northern Virginia, and my dad called up and told me about this. So I got in the car and came down. Went in the hospital to see him. Dad said, "It's not good. He's going to pass." When I walked into the room, my grandfather was pulling the pin out of his shin bone that was part of traction. I said, "Granddad, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm going home." And my first thought was 803 Stonehenge Road. It really was. And I looked at him and I said, "We'll get you home." He said, "No, I'm going home." I really believe that my grandfather was getting glimpses of home. And in his own determined spirit, he was going home. We finally got him to stop trying to take the pin out of his shin bone. And he passed soon after that. So where's home for you? When it's all said and done, and you wipe the tear, the last tear, off from someone you love, where's home? What I want to talk about today is the journey home. You know, my sweet grandfather taught me something that day about home. But he also taught me a lot about the journey towards home, and his peace, and his intentionality, and his love for people, and his love for his Lord. Thank you, Granddaddy. He was my discipler when I needed someone desperately to anchor my life. You know, we're all on a journey. And verse 5 says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, O God, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage." Or the journey, depending on your translation. The reality is we're travelers. We're all travelers. We're all travelers. We're moving through this space of time, moving towards the ultimate destiny, our home. And as Jeff said last week, it's not a circle. There is a destination, a place where we're going, a home that we're headed towards. All of our journeys are different. My journey is different than your journey. Your journey is different than my journey. But there are some consistent things we see in these journeys. And I think that's part of what the psalmist is trying to tell us here today. That there's good news in the journey. I want to bring you a message of good news this morning. The road that we journey can be blessed even when they're valleys. You need to hear that loud and clear. The road that we journey can be blessed even when we walk through the valleys. And the psalmist gives us four things here for us to hold on to for this blessed road. And so we're going to be walking through those things quickly. Actually, Jeff told me I only had 20 minutes this morning. How do you tell a 40-minute preacher that he's got 20 minutes? But I'm going to breeze through this. So we're going to go through these four points. The first one is, we go through this journey either without or with God's strength and power. You know, I've always prided myself in being a fourth down and one guy. Give me the daggone ball, and I'll run over them. The problem is I've lived a good portion of my life like that. Give me the ball, and I'll run over you. If there's something hard here, give me the ball. If you're worried about us making the first down, give me the ball. Well, 9 concussions later, double bypass and cancer, the Lord has said, give me the ball. Because you can't even make it up to the line. I am a confessed striver. My default is to strive in my own strength. And the Lord has been teaching me for years and years and years, and it's taken me a long time to learn that He is my strength and He is my power. He says, yeah, I've given you armor. I've given you everything that you need. But if you're going to choose to stand in your own strength, you're going to fail somewhere along the line. We need strength for the journey. Just like the Jews here needed strength for their pilgrimage as they were heading towards Zion and they were going through the valleys. And I'm learning that there are no half-hearted people on the journey. If you're a half-hearted people on the journey, person on the journey, you're going to get lost or left behind. But it's not you striving. It's not in your power. It's be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. In His mighty power. And I don't know what you depend on for your strength. For me, it was my physicality. For some of you, it may be money. It may be intelligence. But sooner or later, God's going to put you in a position where you've got to say, you're in the valley of Baca, and you're going to have to say, I can't move through this place. I need your help. So the first thing, God's our strength and our power. You have to acknowledge that, especially you strivers. It's hard. And it's become so much a part of me at times, I have to say, Lord, I'm doing it again. I'm guilty again. Don't give me another heart attack. I want to learn. I want to learn that you are my strength and my power. God's the compass of our hearts. He says at the end of that of verse 5, set on pilgrimage. Hearts set on pilgrimage. Where's your true north? Where's your true north? Do you have a compass? Or do you just come out and say, I got this figured out? GPS saved our marriage. For years, Sherry and I would go to places. She would be trying to read the map. I would be driving. And this was not a good marriage thing. She couldn't read the map. I was getting ticked off. And I wouldn't stop to ask anyone for directions. When we figured out the GPS on our phones, we said, hallelujah, this is going to save our marriage. And I come from a long line of people who will not stop and ask for directions. My father, when he was young, drove a Trailways bus. He would get lost in the bus and wouldn't stop and ask for directions. Can you imagine that, a bus driver? We used to tease him when we'd go on family trips. Where are we, Dad? Dad, where are we? And my mother would say, Jim, Jim, stop and ask for directions. I got it. I've got this figured out. Oh, Lord, make me know your ways. Will you teach me your paths? Will you lead me in your truth? For you are the guard of my salvation. For you I will wait all day. Talking about needing a spiritual GPS. Do you tune into that? I mean, do you rely on your spiritual GPS to help you set the north? The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And after he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. I take great comfort in that, that the Lord wants to lead me. But I need to be a sheep. I need to be willing to admit, Lord, I need help here. I keep getting to this cul-de-sac and going in circles. And maybe I need to stop and ask for directions. Have you ever felt like you're in a cul-de-sac or you keep going around and, hey, didn't we see this place 5 minutes ago? What's your heart set on? Who's setting your heart? Where's your strength coming from? Third, God turns a valley, the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, is the actual translation into a well of springs. You notice in the passage here, in verse 6, as they pass through the valley of Baca, it's not if they pass through the valley of Baca, it's really when. All of us have been through those valleys. Some of us are in those valleys. And I want to stop. Tom kind of set us up for this. I want to stop here and pray. Because there were valleys of Baca for me in 2017, in 2016, 2015, 2014. And I'm rest assured that there are going to be some valleys in 2018. And so I want to stop. And I'm going to close this time of prayer. It's not going to close the sermon. Sorry, I'll do that in a minute. And ask, I want to put 2017 to rest in some shape or form. Now, I don't want us to forget. But there's another thing that we do. We tend to suppress the things that we've been through and don't want to deal with them. I'm not talking about suppression. I'm talking about handing these things over to my strength, handing these things over to my guide, and saying, Lord, here they are. I need help here. I hope you will do the same. I can't force you to pray, but let's just stop here and pray and deal with some 2017. Lord, I confess that there were times in 2017 that I was so scared that I was running to things that I shouldn't run to. Father, I have carried things into 2018 that I've yet to forgive myself for. Just take some time to forgive yourself. Lord, set us free from any bondage that we found ourselves in 2017. Lord, the stress and the anxiety of 2017, we hand it over to you, my strength, our strength and courage. Any vows that are not of you, Lord, that we made in 2017, we hand them to you. Lord, help us to be like Paul in Philippians, as I read from Philippians 3. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which God, Christ Jesus, took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, us, heavenward in Christ Jesus. Lord, forgive our sins. Forgive them all, O Lord. Our sins of omission and sins of commission. The sins of our youth and the sins of our riper years. The sins of our souls, the sins of our bodies. Our secret sins, and our more open sins. Our sins of ignorance and surprise, and our more deliberate and presumptuous sins. The sins we have done to please others. The sins we know and remember, and the sins we have forgotten. The sins we have striven to hide from others, and the sins by which we have made others offend. Forgive them, O Lord. Forgive them all for His sake, who died for our sins and rose for our justification, and now stands at the right hand to make the intercession for us. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The fourth point, God's strength and power He wants to give us. God is our compass, our director. God turns the valley of Baca into wells of springs. God, will you make us stronger in the valley? Those of you who train and work out on a regular basis, there's a thing called muscle hypertrophy. How do you say that, Greg? Hypertrophy, I got it right. Basically, what it is when you work real hard and you push, you're lifting heavy weights or you're running beyond what you think you can run, you're tearing the fibers of your muscles. You're literally tearing the fibers of your muscles. And what happens is your body says, oh, we need to strengthen your muscles. So what happens is the hormones and chemicals in your body come back, and that's how you get bigger. Your muscles get bigger because your body reacts to the strain, to the tearing of the muscles, and it makes you stronger and bigger. It's kind of a wonderful, natural thing we have in our bodies until we get older. Some of us need to understand that there needs to be a spiritual hypertrophy. There needs to be a spiritual hypertrophy. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary.
No one can measure the depths of his understanding. Listen to this. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. So, as you head home down this road, have you made a left or a right turn somewhere and you're kind of going, uh-oh, I need to get back on the road? Or are you in a cul-de-sac and you just keep going in circles, kind of going, I know the directions, but I'm not going to stop and ask. I'm too smart for that. I've got some questions for you that I want you to think about as we move into 2018, and we'll post these on the website. They're from Francis Ann Green. Actually, there's six questions plus one that I've added. Do you desire more in your relationship with God, or do you think that you've arrived? Are you willing to journey into the unknown, or will you only travel if you know exactly where it leads? Do I have to be in control? When the journey gets tough, do you have the courage to keep walking? Will you go to new places, or is it more important to defend where you are? Wow. Do you trust God enough to travel lightly? Or must you build up treasures for yourself and cling to the baggage from the past? Will you be uncomfortable? Or do you prefer to stay nestled in the familiar? I feel like this is a charge to us as individuals, but really a charge to us as a church. Are we willing to take some risk and move out in maybe ways that we've talked about but just haven't done in 2018? As we move into the week of prayer, are we expecting something that goes bigger than us? And are we afraid that if he does show up, we won't want to do it, what he asked us to do? But I ask all this to you and say, are you planning on doing all this alone? I've tried that. You know, the beauty of what God has done is he's put us in a community that we can walk shoulder to shoulder with each other, and we don't have to carry the weight all by ourselves. You know, when I used to say, give me the ball, I was looking at 10 other men saying, yeah, but y'all better block. We're in this together. And when we're asking for direction, maybe we need to do that together some. When we're asking for strength and power, maybe we need to do that together some. I just feel like he's calling us to something that's bigger than us, thank God. That we have to lean on him on this journey home. I read this great story in preparation. There was this older couple, much older. She was dying. She's on the bed dying. And she looked at her husband and said, it's time. And a tear rolled out of her eye and down her cheek. And he reached up and he wiped the tear away and said, it's the last one. At home, you will cry no more. What are your eyes focused on? I love my granddaddy who said, I'm going home with great intentionality. I'm going home. May the Lord bless the road that you find yourself on as you walk towards home.